made all things to be twofold. And in being twofold, they would be whole. As the heavens would not be alone without the earth, as land would not be whole without the sea, so God made us twofold, male and female. And so Adam wrote creation's first hymn when he beheld the woman Eve, whom the Lord God created from his side. This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Human beings, beautifully and wonderfully made, body and soul, the visible, the invisible, not just the soul, but soul and body. Have you ever wondered why you were given a body? Why you were created this way and not any other? Now, God created other beings in his heaven who were pure spirit, who were pure spirits. They do not have material bodies. These are called angels. But he made us different. He made us with material bodies. And when he created us body and soul, he said not just that it was good, but that it was very good. He gave us eyes so that you would see the heavens declaring the glory of God, and that your eyes would be overwhelmed every day by the majesty and the beauty of holiness. He gave you and me ears so that we would hear his truth, so that our ears would be open to his wisdom, and most of all, that you would hear him rejoicing over you with gladness, quieting you by his love, and exulting over you with loud singing. This is why he gave you ears. He gave you hands, that you might find joy in serving others, not yourself. In making things with your hands. And then bringing all the works of your hands to the altar of God, offering your best in worship and gratitude to him. He gave you the sense of smell, so that every scent, every aroma in this world would inspire you to return fragrant offerings of thanksgiving back to God. He gave you a mouth to speak words of blessing, to speak words of gratitude. He gave you a mouth to taste and see that all that you have ever needed, his hand has provided you. Because the one who made you is your Father. And he is gracious and good. And most of all, he made you with a face so that your face would be radiant with glory. Glory not that comes from ourselves. No, no, no. A glory that we receive when his face shines on ours. He gave you a body, my brother and my sister, so that it would always be a temple, a dwelling place of God, a place where heaven and earth intersect, where they meet. He gave your soul a body, so it would be a living sacrifice of worship, this place where your heart would be an altar for him and him alone. It was not only angels who gazed in wonder on the image of God, male and female. We hear the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 28. We hear the Lord addressing Adam, who was created body and soul, and who was clothed to be the priest of Eden, to be the priest of all creation. And the Lord said, "You were the signet of perfection, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, sardius, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, emerald, and carbuncle. And crafted in gold were your settings and your engravings. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. You were an anointed guardian cherub. I placed you. You were on the holy mountain of God. In the midst of stones of fire you walked. You were blameless in your ways, from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you." And we know all too well that this sanctuary that God made beautifully and wonderfully, that it's fallen, It's fallen terribly into ruins. Hands that were formed and fashioned to bless and to embrace, to place offerings on God's altar, those hands have become clenched fists. Those hands have taken up the sword to make war, even brother against brother. And mouths that were created to speak praise, to speak blessings, to speak truth, now they speak curses and they speak lies. We made an about face. We lost our first radiance when we turned away from the face of God who had shown his glory upon us. And to paraphrase St. Gregory the theologian, with our eyes now blinded by sin, we chase after numberless pleasures that always disappoint, and in chasing them, we cannot see that we are walking towards the cliff. Our very confinement, St. Gregory says, our very confinement and darkness has become for us a source of pleasure. We're proud of the land of curses. How we love our confinement in a pit. He echoes the prophet Isaiah, who said, all we like sheep have gone astray, and we've fallen into a pit, body and soul. The temple of our bodies has become desecrated. The sanctuary of our heart, it lies in ruins. And so tonight, on Christmas Eve, we come in pilgrimage, having come through Advent, we come into a hole in the earth, a cave of Bethlehem, where Christ was born. He was born in a cave. And being born in the cave of Bethlehem was a sign that he would be born in the very lowest place of the earth. It was a sign of his love, and it was a sign of his destiny as a man. Here is a child who from the very beginning desires the lowest place so that we who were in a pit could be exalted to the highest place where he had been from all eternity. Here was a child who was born to die in shame so that he would remove our shame. A great exchange. He was born in the cave in the lowest place. And it was a foreshadowing that he would descend even into the depths of hell. Why? So that, as the church fathers have said, our deepest descent into darkness, whatever caused it, would always be a falling into the arms of the Word made flesh, who was born to save us, body and soul. Christ was born in a rejected cave so that all our resentment of his love could be swallowed up. Swallowed up how? By the glory of his humility. Only humility can break down a hardened heart. And our pride, our vanity, our hubris, it met its match. Where? In the swaddling clothes of Jesus, born in the humility of a manger. And here in the Christ child is a child whose face is always, forever turned toward the Father. Here is a child who would awake every morning, turning his ear to the Father, not just to commune with the Father, but so that he also would speak a word of hope and eternal life, especially to the one who was weary and worn out. The mystery of our redemption is so wonderful that St. Peter said, even angels long to look and see the marvel of this grace. I quote the great poet of the Nativity, St. Ephrem, once more when he said, the all-knowing saw that we worshipped creatures, and so he put on a created body to draw us by a created body toward the Creator. Blessed is he who contrived to draw us to him. The evil one knew how to harm us. With possessions he maimed us. By gold he made us poor. With graven images, he made a heart of stone. But on Christmas, we say, blessed is he who came to soften it, to make it a heart of flesh again. Christ was born to soften our hearts so that they might become an altar again, a tabernacle where God is loved and adored above all other loves. But he was born in the flesh not only for our hearts, not only for that which is invisible. Here is a child who will perform signs and wonders on our broken bodies too. He opens blind eyes and deaf ears. He brings speech to the speechless. He heals lepers. He heals paralytics to walk so that they walk upright and without shame. He was born to redeem and heal us, soul and body, to be a glorious sanctuary once again. You and I were not created for dishonor nor for shame. God the Father could not stand idle when he looked upon the ruined sanctuaries of our bodies and souls. And this is why angels appeared in the glory of the Lord over Bethlehem Field. Angels who had attended the creation of our bodies and souls in Eden now attend the redemption of our bodies and souls in the city of David. The glory of the Lord that pierced the darkness of Bethlehem fields, that bathed shepherds with celestial light, that was a sign for the whole cosmos. This universe that had been covered with the shroud of death after Adam's fall, we see on Christmas night, it's destined to be robed with glory again. And shepherds, the most forgettable men in Judah, the least of all, they have glory shining on their faces. That was a sign that in this kingdom, the last indeed will be made first. They will behold the greatest glory. It happened on Christmas night. They will have glory shining on them like Adam used to. They saw the glory of the angels, they saw then an entire army, the heavenly host. But all that heavenly host was not greater than the King of Angels. The King of Angels lay wrapped in swaddling clothes. And there, his glory from heaven had come to earth in a body like ours. And it was all veiled. His glory veiled by his humility. He has clothed himself in our flesh, all for the purpose that we might wear the robe of his glory again. So let us leave behind all the sin that so easily entangles, that only leads to disappointment. Leave behind the shame. Leave behind all the sadness. And come and kneel at Bethlehem. Look into his face. And he will make us new again. And looking in his face, we will become who we were created to be, holy sanctuaries for the uncreated light, whose name is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.